Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson, and we are going to continue our discussion on the book called The Miracle of Forgiveness that was written by 12th President Spencer W. Kimball. And there's a reason why we're doing this, Eric, is because this is the one book that has actually been recommended in General Conference, and it's one that most Mormons are very familiar with.
Listen to what 70 Richard L. Evans said in April 1970, page 16 of Conference Reports. He said, many of you would be familiar with President Spencer Kimball's wonderful work on the miracle of forgiveness. I witness to you that God is a loving God who will forgive and help us find peace and self-respect as we repent and show our sincerity by the lives we live. And there is nothing he asks of us that we cannot do. There is no requirement we cannot keep. If we are willing, if we want to. Repentance is a miracle if it is sincere.
Repentance is a miracle if it is sincere. And I'm sure there's many Latter-day Saints out there, and I know there are because we've talked to them, that certainly want to see the benefits of true repentance. Of course, the problem is we can't seem to find any Latter-day Saints that have met all the requirements of what Mormons have called true repentance. And this is what troubles us, and this is why we're going through the book. We are today looking at chapter 2. Chapter 2 is titled, No Unclean Thing Can Enter. And it quotes from the book of Moses, which is a unique part of Mormon scripture, chapter 6, verse 57, that says, all men everywhere must repent, or they can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. For no unclean thing can dwell there or dwell in his presence.
Bill, I'm going to ask you, do you think that's something we would agree with?
Yes, I think we would. We do agree that no unclean thing can dwell in God's presence. God is holy, God is righteous, and God does demand perfection. Of course, the question then becomes, well, how do we attain this type of cleanliness, this type of quote-unquote perfection, when we know that all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God? How is that attained? In Christianity, there's an answer for that, as well as in Mormonism, but they're different answers.
Right, and that I was going to say, therein lies a difference right there, what you just said.
Well, on the first part of this chapter, he doesn't cite this verse, but there's another verse that goes along with this, and it's out of Alma 11. In verse 37 in the Book of Mormon, it says, and I say unto you again that he, speaking of God, cannot save them, speaking of mankind, in their sins. For I cannot deny his word, and he has said that no unclean thing can inherit the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, how can you be saved except you inherit the kingdom of heaven? Therefore, you cannot be saved in your sins.
There you go again, Bill. I think there's another place we would say we agree, because you can't be saved in your sins according to the Bible. Romans 3:23 says we are sinners. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. And that's the remedy that Paul goes through in the book of Romans to explain how we escape that dilemma.
Yeah, but you would have to admit that if no one can be saved in their sins and we're all sinners, that in one aspect, looking at this from a little different angle, that's really the only people who can be saved are the ones who have sins. But are the sins accounted to you? That's the real issue here, because, again, we admit, and Mormons will admit too, that we all struggle with sin. I struggle with sin. You struggle with sin. All Christians struggle with sin. Mormons also struggle with sin. But if no unclean thing can inherit the kingdom of heaven, then the next question, of course, becomes, well, how does a Mormon get clean? And again, that is where we have a huge difference from our opinions on how this is actually accomplished. For instance, Roy Doxey, who at the time he wrote this was working with the Correlation Department, I'm not sure where he is right now, but wrote a book called The Doctrine and Covenant Speaks. And in volume 1, page 104, he says, the benefits of the atonement for personal salvation arise out of our obedience to the laws and commandments of the gospel. The forgiveness of sins comes to us by this obedience to the ordinances of the gospel and by enduring to the end. walking in obedience to the commandments. So if you're going to get the benefits of the gospel and you're going to be cleansed of your sin, what does Mr. Doxy say you must do? Well, just keep the commandments. Of course, again, the question becomes that we should ask our Latter-day Saint friends, well, how many commandments must a Latter-day Saint keep in order to have the benefit of the atonement for personal salvation? Every one of them that we have talked to says all of them, to which the next question then becomes, how are you doing at that? Because we haven't met a Latter-day Saint who is actually keeping all of the commandments. That becomes the problem. Well, moving along in this chapter, because there is a lot that we want to discuss in this, and I think we're going to have to break it up into two segments. But anyway, let's go on.
Page 19, Bill, at the very bottom of the page, it says, "But to God who is perfection, cleanliness means moral and personal cleanliness. Less than that is, in one degree or another, uncleanliness, and hence cannot dwell with God." And the next page, "Were it not for the blessed gifts of repentance and forgiveness, this would be a hopeless situation for man, since no one except the Master has ever lived sinless on the earth."
Now, what has been the experience, Eric, when we talk with Latter-day Saints about this very issue? When we ask them, well, how many commandments are you supposed to keep? And they say all of them.
Yep.
We say, well, are you doing that? And they say no. And then they'll say, and that's why we have repentance.
Right.
Well, the problem with this is, nobody's doing the true repentance according to the definition of the LDS Church. Because if this is what it is, that you have to be moral and personal cleanliness, which means how many sins can you possibly have in a situation like that if you're going to be clean? He talks about there being a speck, small speck of dirt on the shirt, I think he said, or something like that. So obviously, Kimball, and again, I want to commend Kimball because he does understand the effects of law. It shows no mercy, and it's an absolute. He understands that. He gets it, but sadly, he doesn't understand what New Testament grace is.
And Bill, and he's going to be talking later in one of the chapters about abandoning sin and making it a permanent change, but I have a little booklet that was published by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints called Repentance Brings Forgiveness. So this was published by the church, and this was written by Spencer Kimball as well. And under abandonment of sin, he said, "The forsaking of sin must be a permanent one. True repentance does not permit making the same mistake again." And so this idea of repentance means that you do it and you stop sinning.
And you never do it again. Because
right.
if you did it again, that shows you never really truly repented in the first place. There's an old saying that we use that in Mormonism, you can't really repent of the same sin twice. Because if you find yourself asking for forgiveness and repenting of that sin a second time, you never really repented in the first place. And so anyway, we're going to move on because on page 25, he lists about what?
90, we counted
about
them.
90 sins that are possible to commit. And he also covers himself down there unless one isn't mentioned that you can come up with outside of his list. He says, hey, you can't, that's no excuse either. But very quickly, just looking at some of these sins, I mean, some of them are the big ones, you know, murder, you know, he goes into murder and adultery and theft and cursing, unfaithfulness, some of the other ones, Eric, he gets into.
Well, improvidence, hatred of God, disobedience to husbands, doesn't mm-hmm. say disobedience to wives, but to the husbands, lack of natural affection, flattery, backbiting, Sabbath breaking, incontinence, envy.
We think the incontinence, yes. I'm sure, has something to do with not controlling your sexual appetites and
right.
not your bowels. I don't think he's talking about that at all.
Right. Greediness for filthy lucre, disobedience to parents, speaking evil of dignitaries, interesting, mm-hmm. heresy. He even uses the word adultery twice.
Yeah, that did get caught in there twice. So, but he talks about anger and hate. Now, if that's the case, and I think that is a sin, that's a pretty bad one. But yet, if you were to look at some of the email I receive, I would think there's still some Mormons out there that are pretty guilty of that, even though they're accusing me of that while they're, you know, exposing themselves for doing that. But this list is pretty exhaustive, and if you don't find one that you might be yeah. guilty of, he says, "These are transgressions the Lord has condemned through his servants. Let no one rationalize his sins on the excuse that a particular sin of his is not mentioned nor forbidden in Scripture."
I'm sure there were going to be some who were going to read through here to try to find out, well, that's not quite listed here, so I guess I'm okay. He's saying, no, if I forgot to mention one or somewhere else out there, then count that as well.
Well, I think sinning is emphasized. Of course, it's emphasized a lot in the Mormon Church. I think Mormons know pretty much what they are supposed to do and what they're not supposed to do. But what we find fascinating is when we're talking with LDS acquaintances, they all seem to know that they've never gotten all of these things taken care of. There's always some loose end that they feel is going to disqualify them for that exaltation that they hope to seek. And see, that's what's so really terrible about any type of works-related salvation is you can never really know if you've accomplished what's expected of you. There's always going to be some questions. Did I leave anything out? And you know, in Mormonism, you're not really allowed to do the old, well, forgive me of all my sins, including the ones I can't remember. That's not really what repentance is described as in Mormonism. And you know what, folks? It's really not what's described as repentance in the Bible. We should try to be cognizant of these things. However, we do understand at the same time that we do have what's called the sin of omission, and we don't recall some of these things probably like we should, which I think goes to speak about how sinful we really are, because sometimes we're doing these things and we don't even recognize we're offending God.
Bill, I'm just reading through this list as you're talking here, and there are points in here that it depends on who's doing the defining. And if a Mormon is doing the defining, for instance, Sabbath breaking, well, what exactly does that mean? Depends on who's doing that determination. Or heresy. I mean, if you say that Joseph Smith is not a true prophet, the Mormon would say, well, that's heresy. But I would say, well, no, I don't think that is. So who's doing the defining of this lengthy
list?
Well,
isn't it possible to be guilty of heresy even if you don't think you are?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Of course, it still is a transgression against God.
Or idolatry.
What about bearing false witness? I mean, how many times have we heard that I've been accused of being excommunicated from the Mormon Church on the charge of adultery? No chance. But yet we've heard that many times. And Mormons don't seem to have a problem spreading that kind of a rumor around. But there's a lot of things here that I think if a Mormon goes through this list, they're probably going to see themselves at some point or another. I see myself in here.
I see you in there too, Bill.
Yeah, thank you very much. But the point is again, how do we get cleansed from these sins? That's what separates us.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear past editions of more than 100 shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is available on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the box that says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. Looking for a book on Mormonism? The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City carries the largest selection of Christian books on Mormonism, including titles such as Mormonism, Shadow or Reality, and Mormonism 101. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is also a great place to get your questions answered. Open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is located directly across from the Spring Mobile Ballpark at 1358 South and West Temple.